Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
And continue your rant, Oliver.
Oh, I got a limp noodle.
Limp dick. Remember that video of me?
Yes. God damn it.
Why am I so droopy?
I can't find my shit.
What's going on?
My phone is missing.
We are, Oliver needs the...
So what are we going to call, here, fix your dick.
That's, hell yeah, dude.
Why don't you come fix it for me?
God damn it, that gives me so many good memories.
Oh my god, Christian.
Not that.
Christian.
What?
I just want you to know.
Am I missing a...
No, I got you.
A tightener?
Bailey's going to come and make
tighten
you a wreck.
Shit.
I mean, it's got to be this one screw here, but...
We're having technical difficulties, everyone. But okay,
that's a wire cutter.
Yeah,
that's what I said. But apparently...
It's the thing to do.
Help me out here.
I actually have pliers at the house. Would you? I have two.
No, we have pliers. Of pliers.
Of needle nose pliers.
We just want to hit. We don't want to get into stripping.
It really fucks people up when we put them on the show and we're like, "Here, fix your mic with these wire cutters."
Really strip the fuck out of these things. Like mine over there is fucked.
Well, you know, if we really enjoy doing this, I'll invest.
Your dick is semi. We're half chub.
This is fucking great. You can make that radio.
I need my goddamn phone.
You want me to call it? Oh yeah, you got all your notes.
Yes, I do have notes.
No.
All right,
just a girl.
Mommy's going downstairs to find her phone.
Bye, mommy. Maybe bring some needle nose pliers while you're at it.
No. The garage, and it takes time to look for those, and I don't want to do it. And I'm gonna
literally need a like 1/16 sock for that.
All right, construction all the time.
I'm just saying, it's not needle nose pliers you need.
I was having fun.
God, Pat.
Hey, bring the almond chips.
No, nobody wants to hear you smacking on shit.
Dude, this is already off to a fantastic fucking start.
Boom. Are we picking up?
I can hear
like,
you.
Oh, you're on the phone.
What'd you say, baby?
She killed all of the almond chips.
Oh, she ate them all.
Bring me the crumbs.
Right she before, wants the crumbs. Right before we came up there, she was just stuffing them in her face.
Just cramming them in there.
Crumb me.
Crumb in my mouth.
Crumb diddly umptious. Did you just look at yourself in the... Just hold the box.
Oh. Well, this is a...
Excuse me.
Surprise for everyone.
Did you start the jam?
Yeah, I've been recording for like 3 minutes.
I guess I can't eat my almond chips.
Don't drool on my teeth. Don't go ahead and eat almond chips.
Sorry,
they're drool worthy.
So much drool.
Okay.
Are we recording?
Oh yeah, we've been recording.
No.
Yeah, that's apparently the whole time I was talking about, you know,
crumbing in my face.
Crumb diddly um shit.
That was actually really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crumb in my face.
Okay, crumb in my face.
All right then. Well, it's spooky season, everybody.
And there's nothing scarier than me and Christian right now.
Fucking real, dude. So we're back a little ahead of schedule. We're trying something. We're gonna give it a little test run on something. We're like, it's spooky season. We want to do something for you guys. It's not Creeps in the Crypt. We are joined by, as you know, Christian, yes, Bailey,
Yar,
me, and our good friend Oliver, who has done other podcasts with us that shall not be named, because, yeah.
They're dead.
Yeah, it's a dead show. Nobody listens to it.
There's a new straw in town.
Jesus fuck. So we're going to try our hand at movie reviews, and we're going to see how this goes. So, as we all know, Bailey doesn't watch movies.
No.
That's something you guys have covered before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because yeah. I'll make Too a many reference. Times. Dude, I will make a reference, and this bitch will not understand it, and she's like, I don't watch movies.
About the okay. only time that I'm okay with her not understanding references is when it's something to do with, like, something mundane, like, I don't know, Mean Girls or something like that. She's like,
well, Mean Girls was not a reference I ever fucking made.
That's a show.
I watched that movie.
What? I want to know the aversion. I want to dive into the aversion to movies.
Aversion.
Yeah, because all they are stories. Do you read?
Huh?
No, you don't. Okay.
Okay, maybe if you enunciated that, I would have heard it.
Do you read?
I do.
Okay.
So I was really expecting
her to say...
Are you
going to ask me what kind of books I read?
I was really expecting her to say, I watch TikToks of book summaries.
Yeah, Cliff Notes.
No, I've always been a reader.
Okay, so that's your medium for consuming?
No.
Okay. So it is TikTok.
You didn't actually ask me what kind of books I read.
Are they smutty?
No.
50 Shades of Grey.
No, I only
that read actually books is not even that great.
That are going to better me as a person. Why does my mic sound like this?
I don't know. It sounds fine to me.
Okay.
It does sound okay. Do your little.
It sounds just so popping crispy.
You're good.
All right.
It's very crispy.
You have a crispy. All right. Shake. Anyways, back to the question. What's kept you away from movies?
Nothing. I mean, just simply don't have the fucking time.
Okay, if you have time to sit down and read a fucking novel.
Whenever I go to sleep, right, I can read literally, like, I don't know, like a few pages, and then I'm like, oh, I'm so tired.
All right.
But I'm not going to sit there and watch a fucking 3-hour movie.
How long does it take you to read a book?
Long enough.
Fair enough.
When yeah. I was in school, though, like, I would one literally read, like, fucking 4 books a week. I would get in trouble for reading underneath the desk at school.
Model
so
student.
Is the visual thing not like stimulating enough for you, like with the movies?
It's not even that I don't like movies. It's that I don't have time. When I get in, like, okay.
To set aside like 2.5 hours of like,
right.
Exclusively, I'm setting aside 2.5 hours to watch this.
I work 12-hour days, come home, go to sleep. On the days that I'm off, I literally wake up at like 10, 11, and then I don't have time to, like, sit down until, like, 11 o'clock at night. So, like, it's just not happening. I just don't have time.
I feel that.
Why? Are you a stripper?
Only on days that end in Y. Stripping right, for have, Jesus.
Okay, what did we watch tonight?
All right, so the movie we chose to kick this thing off with
is a personal favorite.
Is a classic. House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah.
So Rob Zombie's first, I believe it's his first.
It was his first.
First film.
Debut.
Because Bailey doesn't really like scary movies, and we all thought that was more of a comedy. Okay. So Bailey, as somebody who doesn't watch movies, on the record, you don't. What would you give the movie on a scale of 1 to 5?
Well, when you don't have anything to compare it to. Okay, I would give it.
Like
she's looking at mom and dad for approval. She's like, are
childhood
they
trauma.
She's like, are they gonna be mad at me if I pee
literally?
I'm gonna give it a 2.5.
3.5.
Okay,
that's better than I thought you were gonna give it.
That's all right.
It's like I didn't end it and go, oh, that was a really good movie. It was like, okay.
I am not mad about that.
I didn't not like that.
I would give it a 4. It's iconic.
It's a 5 for me because I can quote it word for word. I know it. I love this movie.
She was mouthing the fucking lines through the movie.
Love and this movie. Christian literally spoiled the whole entire fucking plot ending for me.
Yeah, like literally we were at the precipice of the payoff.
I love
to the
this part where she does
movie.
That.
Oh yeah.
What the fuck?
We're Christian? Literally we have 10 fucking minutes left of this goddamn film that we've forced this poor woman to my right to watch. And Christian goes, you know they all die at the end. They're getting ready to meet Dr. Satan, right?
Dr. Satan!
Dude, but like the thing is, it's like, okay, I didn't know that this was like iconic or classic or
it's a classic horror film.
Anything like that. So like if your rating is a 4 because you knew that.
I watched this movie when I was about 13.
It's a cult classic. It's not like the classic horror films, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
are gonna be your Halloween, Friday the 13th, Evil Dead. And even that one's really a cult classic.
Well,
Evil Dead definitely is. The other ones are
mainstream.
They're mainstream slasher
Nightmare
movies.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Those are
Texas
slasher.
Chainsaw.
Yeah, slasher movies.
I tend to like cult classic movies. So
cult classics are fantastic.
I promise
they're
you, if
weird.
You ever watch this movie again, you'll be like, you'll notice things that you didn't see before.
Like it if I watched it again. First off, I'm like,
If you watched it with nobody else around you, like making commentary,
I'd be scared.
I'll watch it with you.
Aww.
And I'll do the baby laugh the entire time.
No, now she has to watch the sequels.
There's sequels?
Yes. Fuck. All right, staying on topic, are you, like, going to break down the movie? Like,
yeah, so, Christian, you took notes during the film, so I will have you take it away.
I don't get to rate this fucking thing?
Oh, Oliver, what's your... I'm sorry.
The
we're just so
used to rating the three of us. A fucking zero after all that.
Small little family.
No. Maybe a 3.5.
You trying to be me?
In what?
That was my rating.
Was it? I don't remember.
There's
it was
a
so
wrong
long
answer
ago.
Of what... Scoff. This is all, like, personal opinion.
Okay. My reasoning for that is... It's got a very reminiscent plot line to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I understand
your point of view.
I think the movie's hilarious. A lot of my type of humor in it, but it's not a...
We're going to get to that.
...nuanced, intricate movie.
No, I mean...
Anyways.
Let's just talk about Rob Zombie films for a second. They are all very similar. It's normally crazy redneck cult... Or inbred family type shit, and then they kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, but see, I didn't really remember this movie because I'd seen it so long ago, and I know we watched it.
I think the last time we watched it, we were all hammered.
Yeah, we watched it a few years ago, but I don't remember a fucking thing about it because we were absolutely blitzed.
I think it's interesting that it gave me Rocky Horror. And it gave you tick.
And that's
Texas
okay
Chainsaw.
Because
but you
that's
also kind don't,
of where he pulled from.
Yeah,
what?
But you
I
also
don't watch movies, so my opinion.
No, woman. You haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so you wouldn't get that reference. You wouldn't see the similarities.
You know what? I think we watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre next week.
Well,
it's a good
original,
one.
The original.
Yeah, the OG.
Yeah, the original is really fucked up.
So,
anyways.
Christian, go ahead.
So, first and foremost, when you first start watching the movie, it breaks into black and white, which is a very, like, good nuance for a lot of people. And a lot of people are like, what the hell am I watching?
Well,
which Bailey
had. A lot of people like me.
I was like, is this the entire movie?
Well, it throws back to the old, like, B-movie TV, like Vampyra, Svengoolie. Thackeray.
Well,
Wolfenstein is a Thackeray character.
They even show some old... Adam's family in the movie.
Munsters.
During the
Munsters.
Well, yeah.
I still don't get where we...
This is right.
Where did we come... I don't understand where we came back around to the TV thing. Did
right,
I mess
so
up?
The whole thing is that...
The like
movie,
the opening scene, that guy in
the
opening scene. The
movie,
scene.
They're watching Halloween movies while they're committing all of these heinous ass crimes. So it kind of... With those old black and white movies, they were all like... Very campy, like turning Halloween very like oh, it's Halloween, like everything's great, and then like in the background of the actual movie that we're watching,
I see
shit is
doing all this shit.
Not
so
right
during like the 60s and 70s, there was this string of people who would host these Saturday night horror movie shows,
and they were awesome.
Where they would play. Weird cult classic B movies. It's like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Attack of the Giant Brain,
Stripper Horror Franken.
No, not anything like that,
dude.
That came later on. But then you would have like
that was more the 80s.
Then it would move into like Elvira took over in the 80s, and she was doing the whole Vampyra thing, and they had these cult classic horror movie hosts. And Svengoolie's still around today. It's not the original Svengoolie, but it's fucking great.
What's that?
Svengoolie. I will introduce you to Svengoolie later on.
So moving on after the initial, like, beginning part of the film, we get introduced to Captain Spaulding, who is our first character, major character of the film. And him in his clown costume is, like, such an iconic thing that people, like, there's, like, costumes, like, full-on, like, mask of his thing that he does, and
they sell him at Spirit every year.
His whole thing is the murder ride. which you guys got to watch, and where he goes over different serial killers, cannibalists, which is, like, the whole time you're watching it, these are animatronics that we're, like, me and Eric are, like, drooling over, like, damn it, I want a fucking Albert Fish one.
Well, the whole concept of Captain Spaulding doing his, like...
He's the hunting
roadside. Well, he owns a roadside oddities museum, which you see when you drive across country... At these little podunk fucking towns. It's like, world's largest bagel, come see it.
Yeah.
It's these little attractions that it's like, that are all in these small dead-ass towns to try to get people to tourism. Go to them.
But instead of getting them to them to, like, come see the attractions, he is vetting people in a
for
way.
For murder!
For murder.
See, I think it was just happenstance that went down the way it did.
I don't know. I feel like maybe he was part of
the whole Captain Spaulding part. He's just comic relief.
Well, that's not totally true, because he's a plot driver in terms of that he introduces the main characters to Dr. Satan.
Yeah,
I almost said Dr. Doom. and gets them interested.
Loser.
Gets them interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. He definitely drives the plot forward to, like, introduce the final bad guy that we don't see till the
end. And he drew the map.
Yeah.
He drew the map, but it was them picking up...
in the direction of, like, here, you should go here.
Whatever happens, happens.
It was them picking up Baby or Sherry Moon Zombie. God damn it, Kat, would you fucking chill?
Yeah, but they picked her up, and then she told them the direction to go to get to her house, because that's where she needed to be dropped off, and then they shot the shotgun into the tire. So she...
Well, she said she can show Satan.
No, that...
Back up for a second. If you really... Like, Baby was, like, just, like, standing there as a... distraction of, like, hey, in case you missed it, there's a murder tree that you can go visit, and I know where it is.
He brought it up, and she was like, yeah, I know where that is. I'll take you right to it. And it was her taking them into the trap.
Where they were going anyways, because they were already going to drop her off at home.
So. But this is very, and this is in your key theory of this whole thing, that's very Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Very.
Because the whole premise is they pick up this hitchhiker and he, you know, leads them into this fucking situation.
Where their car is broke down.
Well,
and they need a ride or a way to get their car fixed.
Right.
They're out of gas or whatever the fuck
whatever.
It is.
Yeah. So then
they bring them to a fucking degenerate family of psychopaths.
So let's introduce... one of the next characters of this movie, which would be Madame Firefly. And she is my second favorite character.
Madame Firefly.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I thought it was Miss Firefly.
Well,
Madame, Miss. Yes.
They changed it. We'll get to the end of this and then we'll explain why they all have names. There's a book that they all name themselves after. And it's a book about fairy tale characters, and they name themselves after these fairy tale characters to hide their real names in this movie. All right, so we get to Madame Firefly, and she's so excited that they're there, and they celebrate Halloween. There's some people that are skeptical, and they're in the group of teenagers that are like, we don't fucking celebrate Halloween, which makes me super depressed, because I'm like, God damn, how can you not be happy about Halloween?
And we've already got animatronics in our front yard.
And this bitch is like... we're a little bit too old for this.
Who said that?
The one brunette girl was like, maybe we're a
Dwight
little bit...
Schrute's what a bitch. Dwight Schrute's girlfriend.
Exactly. Dwight Schrute's girlfriend. Which is why she watches her boyfriend get turned into...
a fish man?
Fish boy.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of Dwight Schrute and you want to see him get chopped up and made into a merman, this is a good... outlet for you.
Do you think that's a play on the what's the murderer's name? The serial killer Fish.
Albert Fish. Albert Fish. He is part of the murder ride.
Albert Fish.
That's what I'm saying. Do we think it's like a
no? Albert Fish killed kids.
Yeah, he ate children.
I know, but they turned him into a fish, and his name was Fish. Is what I'm saying.
I
I think you're reading too much into that. I think they were looking for just shock and awe that scene. It's like,
so who is the character that
trains let me have it.
Fish Boy? Otis.
Yeah.
He is our next major character, and he is
everything. All sorts of fucked up.
All sorts of fucked up. He is.
I love the little vignettes that they break into.
He is spouting nonsense throughout this entire movie that doesn't make any sense, and it's like something like tinfoil hat nonsense that makes no sense. This is just like what he does, and he is a huge player in characters. Like, he's right up there with me, like, on characters that affect this movie. He moves the plot along. He's like, let's fucking...
Well, he's the main...
let's fucking do shit.
These people probably wouldn't even kill people if it wasn't for Otis.
No.
They'd probably just do...
He is the leader.
...wacky shit to him. Bailey found him completely attractive.
One of my favorite lines that he says is, "My brain is frozen. The crustaceans are living in my body." That is actually a straight quote from the movie. Me too,
buddy.
And then he turns Dwight into a fish man.
Yes.
So you found Otis attractive, huh?
He just made that up entirely.
I mean,
she said that.
I didn't fucking say that.
I don't know.
If any man in this movie is attractive to me, it's...
Tiny, right?
So...
I can't even think of one, actually.
Throughout all this...
Maybe Jerry.
All this, like, interaction and stuff, they...
Yeah, I see you as a Chris Hardwick fan.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Which one was Jerry? Dessert party.
With the hair.
The long-haired hippie guy?
Oh, the one who got scalped?
Yes. Yeah. Before the scalping.
Yes.
No, after.
You don't smash after the scalping.
Sure you do.
No.
You get your scalp shaved off and you don't get no pussy.
You gotta commit.
You pull his hair and his whole scalp just comes
off. It's just a wig. Like my toupee.
It's like those guys on TikTok that fucking... Have you ever seen those guys that glue their toupees on and they just pull it off?
No.
Oh my God, whatever. You guys are old.
I've seen it.
Thank you.
No, I think the people pulling their toupees are for old.
Yeah, you know, I watch movies, not TikTok.
Yeah, okay. Dude, I'll send this motherfucker a TikTok, and he's like, I don't have that
fucking... How old are you,
Oliver? I can't open it if I don't have the fucking app.
How old are you?
Old enough. I'm
the silence. 36.
36, yeah, I'm 36.
Ooh, baby.
Damn. Get Wait, no, fair.
I'm 35. Yeah, I'm 35.
Get it the fuck together.
Fuck you.
In your dreams.
All right.
All right.
Okay, Otis. So, fucking Otis.
Cut lover. The sexual tension in here with
continue
a knife.
Continue on with our story. So, all these people, unbeknownst to them, get invited to this Halloween party. That's not their choice. They're just invited to it. And they'll say...
Because their car's broken down.
They say, you're part of this Halloween celebration. And then they get introduced to some other characters that are part of the Firefly family. One of which is my other favorite, which is Tiny.
They're all your favorite, Christian.
Yeah, I love them
this
all.
Is like really your movie.
You introduce everyone as my favorite.
I love Tiny as a character.
She's the one that wanted to do this as the first one, by the way.
I liked the choice. It didn't scare me bad.
I kept bringing it up as the first one because it's... To me, it's more of a comedy.
It is a comedy.
It's so absurd,
and there's nothing really... I mean, if you were to really empathize and put yourself in the situation of, you know... people fucking terrorizing you and murdering you, but it's done in such a absurd
comical way.
Yeah, comical if you have a dark sense of humor. I think if
I remember Bailey, when the movie came out and Bailey, people were like, this is fucked.
Yeah, Bailey, did you find it the murders funny at all? Or
we haven't gotten to the murders.
So you have a dark sense of humor.
Tiny gets pulled into the dinner. Whoa. And then Tiny gets pulled into the dinner. Everybody's looking at him like, who the fuck is this? And then they say, all right, we're going to have dessert. They have dessert. And
why do they wear masks?
Because it's part of the fucking rules.
It's the Halloween rules. Gonna get you can't get dessert if you don't have your goddamn mask on.
You can't have your pudding if you didn't eat your meat.
Exactly.
So after that, they put on their show. And Grandpa puts on a very racy show.
I believe Oliver described it the best. How do you describe Grandpa's show? I believe you said...
He's not sure.
Something about Sam Kinison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when he does his show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because he's doing the screaming, but it's just the most horrific, vulgar description of, like, what is he describing? He's describing
eating a pussy. Eating your mother's pussy.
Making someone eat their mother's pussy.
Yikes.
And then he's, like, screaming just like Sam Kinison.
And, like, he's staring above the camera with that one eye. The other one's got a cataract in it. And he's just staring above the camera. It's the weirdest fucking camera angle, and it works so fucking well.
I hate it when dogs have cataracts. Thank you.
Thank you for your PSA.
They freak me out.
So, right after this whole, you know, grandpa scene, there is the Betty Boop scene where baby puts on a very sexy outfit and puts on a very sexy little situation and starts taunting the girlfriends. And one girlfriend doesn't really have a thing with it. She says, calls her a whore, tells her to fuck off, calls her a fucking slut.
She fucking pushes her down.
And this is when shit gets fucking real. Madam Firefly tells them to fucking leave. She said, get the fuck out of my house. So they get in their car, and they're thinking, like, oh, we're leaving this fucked up situation, like, we're gonna fucking write about it, it's fucked up, whatever, and we're gonna go live about our best little fucking 20-year-old lives. And they get to a closed gate, and of course the one fucking nerdy ass boyfriend was like, I have to open the gate.
Dwight Schrute.
Instead of just, like, smashing through it like some normal person would do if you're in that situation where you're in that kind of panic.
Well, the other thing would be like, hey, I'm fucking driving. You're the passenger. Get out, open the gate. I'll drive through. That's what makes sense. That
would be too easy. How would we have a story?
So one of them gets out of the car. Dwight's character. This is a Ray calls that. I actually don't know what that guy's name is.
I can't remember either.
Billy.
His name's Rain Wilson, though.
Okay, thank you. He gets out of the car, and Otis starts assaulting him with a baseball bat. And
they're dressed as scarecrows.
And it was which is fucking awesome. Amazing.
They're even hung up.
Yeah, they're hung up
and they drop. However, I don't know how.
So they start assaulting both gentlemen.
Well, hold on.
They
don't know the logistics on that one.
The one that made me laugh was Tiny doing it.
Yes.
Because he's this deformed fucking lurch of a human being. And he's strung up. So somebody strung him up. It's not like he has the range of mobility to do it on his own.
That's what I mean. I mean, how do you even get yourself down when you're...
Yeah.
I mean, something has to be hooking you enough to hold your weight.
I don't know. He's tiny. Tiny can do anything.
He's so tiny.
Unless you're standing on
suspension of disbelief, it's fine. Well,
I mean, look,
hardly the thing to get caught up on this.
You
movie.
Could be standing on like two rails that were hooked in, and just kind of be doing the pose, and have your hands like over the crossbar.
It's giving Jesus.
Yeah, it's a Jesus Christ pose.
So,
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Oh, yeah.
Both gentlemen from the teenager group get absolutely fucked up. Like, fucked up. And there's two girls in the car that in the escape car, and they're like freaking out. One girl like reaches the car, and they both sit in the back seat.
Don't fucking move a muscle. No, let's just sit here and get murdered.
Nobody jumps in the front, try to drive away.
Nobody tries to run away.
Nothing. And then Tiny wipes out the glass, and he's like, "Oh, there's a pretty girl in there, like any man would do." And then he smashes the glass and says, "You're mine now."
No, I wouldn't do that.
Like any man would do.
You're mine now. And he snatches the one blonde girl out of the car. And now we are pivoting into full chaos. Shit is fucked up. All these people are all in different rooms now. We open to a scene to a girl, the brunette. I can't remember what her character name is. She
I don't
is,
know if she even had one.
She does have one, but I can't remember what her name is right now, and it's going to escape me. She's gagged and bound, and she wakes up from a fucked up ass dream where she's like thinking that she got kidnapped, and then she's like, "Oh fuck, I actually got kidnapped!" Like I'm in a fucking hellhole, and she starts screaming. And Otis comes out and says, "What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?" And she starts fucking crying, and he says, "I'm gonna remove the gag, but as soon as you start screaming, I'm going to cut your tits off and feed them to you," which is like one of my favorite fucking like lines ever to say to somebody.
That's very Toy Box Killer.
It is.
Oliver, I think you have something to add to the Toy Box Killer thing, because we made you listen to that and you were disgusted.
We love the Toy Box Killer.
I rarely get disgusted by things, but
I'll cut your tits off.
The fact that this guy had like
cut your tits off.
I forget what it was, like an hour and a half.
It's 47 and a half minutes.
Okay, 47 minutes. Pre-recorded tape. And he decided to pre-record it because he got sick of repeating all these rules to the because he kidnapped so many women.
See, Otis fucked up. He just like was playing by the seat of his pants.
Yep.
One thing about him is he was prepared.
Yes.
David Parker Ray, dude.
So this girl This girl is freaked the fuck out, and she's like, "Where the fuck am I?" And she's like, "Where's Bill?" Which I do remember that character's name. That is
That's what I said, Billy.
That is her boyfriend.
Bill.
And she goes, "Where is Bill?" And he was like, "Oh, Bill's been such a great help in helping me with my mental situation. I've had such a block." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" Because he's an artist, clearly.
He had a creative block. He needed a muse, and Bill was his muse.
And he takes her in like a computer chair situation and wheels her and has something that's like draped over a cloth and reveals it. And it's a masterpiece. Chef's kiss. It is Fish Boy. It is her boyfriend decked out as a
merman.
Full on oddity that should be put in Ripley's Believe It or Not on the level that he has done.
Well, I mean, clearly where it belonged was Spalding's Chicken Factory or whatever the fuck it was called.
Chicken and gas and roadside oddities.
I mean, that's exactly what would have been in one of his little formaldehyde containers.
For sure. The girl immediately freaks out. She's like, "Holy shit, like, he's fucking dead," and then Otis starts fucking laughing in her face.
What's crazy is how many fetuses he had in jars.
Madam Firefly was a fucking hoe. She's just fucking.
You think that's what it is?
Or yes,
you
think she that, said that.
Or do you think that? They okay. Just, I think I thought it was like babies. Babies.
No.
They're like fetuses. Mm-hmm. Like, but some of them have two heads. They're all. The whole Firefly family is inbred. That's the whole.
Right. So maybe they're just a bunch of miscarriages. I don't think these people believe in abortion.
Yeah.
No. But I guarantee you they're like miscarried, almost full-term babies. But,
exactly. Yeah, they're just plopping out and they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Art.
Art.
Yeah, and I'm sure Spalding puts him in his little fucking freak show.
And people are like, oh my God, this must be from like another country or something like that. No, it's from Texas.
Medical oddities.
Yeah. All right. Well, so are we to the final scene?
No,
to
not
the
yet. March? So in order to get to the final scene, you have to get through all of the carnage that happens leading up to this. Now, one of the girls, her father is a police officer and starts like being like, where the fuck is this bitch? Like, she was supposed to be here. She said she was going to be here. And
yeah, loving father would say, where the fuck is my bitch of a daughter?
Where the fuck is this
bitch? Yeah, where's my bitch daughter at?
Big plot point. His daughter calls her from the Spalding chicken shit factory and lets him know that's where they are. And so that's where he gets on the.
So he gets on the trail. Horn. He gets on the fucking horn with local police because he's like any police officer that is retired and says, "I'm still a fucking police officer," and gets involved in shit that he's not involved in. So he calls up the local police. They're like, "We don't know nothing about this, but there was some rain last night, and maybe they got stuck in a mud hole." And so they start investigating.
It's the most like small town cop thing I've ever heard.
They start investigating.
I'm too busy doing nothing for this shit.
So they start investigating. They find a abandoned car, which they're like, where did this come from? And they open up the trunk of it and find a dead bitch in the fucking car. And so they freak out.
There's a dead bitch in my boot.
Yep, there's a dead bitch in my damn boot.
With trick or treat carved into her skin.
Casual.
So now they're like, oh, well, shit's actually fucking for real. This isn't like a fucking prank or anything. So let's go check out the property like next door, because apparently the Firefly family didn't dump it far enough away from their fucking farm. So,
well, you know, there's probably only so many people that live in that area.
They go to the next farm, which is the Firefly farm. And Madame Firefly opens the door, tries to be all flirtatious with all of her fucked up teethness, and she's like, but I can still suck dick, and...
Dick and cock?
Dick and cock and balls and cock.
And, commit...
A little redundant.
Dick and balls.
And cock.
And commit crimes.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
She'd eat ass, dude.
No, I was going with and commit crimes. So she is talking to the chief, and two other people are on the backside of their property investigating, and we see chickens.
Which is Walton Goggins.
Which is literally, like, the only part that Bailey points out, and then I'm like, oh my God, there's fucking chickens! I want that fucking house.
Christian loves cock.
I do love cock. So we get past... We get past the cock and balls that's going on in this fucking nonsense.
Oh, this is devolved.
And there is a shed with sounds coming out of it, which is never a good sign. Nobody wants to ever fucking hear sounds, shed. They just don't mix.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to hear fucking sounds.
Out of a shed.
No, you don't want to hear sounds ever. It gives away the game.
No.
What?
Is it like hide and seek?
No, it's like...
Are you talking about the most dangerous game?
Hey, shut the fuck up. Don't alert anyone.
So, well, they didn't listen to that. They actually opened up the shed, and there is a bunch of dead bitches up in the shed, and one live bitch who is freaking the fuck out because she's surrounded by a bunch of dead bitches, and she doesn't know why. And
I swear that has to be the girl whose daughter.
Shit starts fucking popping the fuck off again.
I agree with you. I think it was too.
And our lovely character, Otis, comes back out again. He's like, I'm going to fucking solve shit right now. He was like, there can't be no bitches making fucking noise.
Here's why I think it wasn't the daughter, right? Because the dad wouldn't have run away. He would have run towards his daughter.
Did he run away?
Yeah, he ran away and got pop twice.
Yeah, but he ran away after he heard a gunshot.
No.
Yeah, the cop inside.
He couldn't even tell that it was his daughter. She was covered in so much fucking dried blood.
I don't think it was one of the cheerleaders.
You know your daughter.
The deputy was on the walkie talkie, called him, said, "Hey, we got something fucked up," and then the guy got blasted.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I forgot that note.
It's inside the house. He's going to hear the gunshot. That's when
basically
he starts.
All the cops come and they kill all of them.
So they clear.
That's the sequel.
So
what?
Dad gets killed. Everybody gets fucking killed. Otis comes out in all of his glory. You know, Skullet doing its thing.
Skullet.
Missing.
Yeah, because he's got a hairline worse than mine, and
so
he's got this long ass stringy nasty greasy hair.
Now we could
reminiscent of Riff Raff from Rocky Horror.
Now we're cutting to a scene where everybody's completely dressed different. Mom and or baby and Madame Firefly are dressed like little angels, adorable. Love them. And Tiny is dressed like a jack-o'-lantern, which is adorable.
Wedding dresses.
And Grandpa is dressed like a vampire.
No, he's dressed like a samurai.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I must have missed that whole plot point.
And they decide that they're going to take them on a field trip.
It's when they have them dressed as rabbits.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
They take them on a field trip and they say, you know what? You guys need to dress up for this field trip. And they dress them up as rabbits. And then they take them out to a field and there's a dead tree. And they say, you want to meet Dr. Satan? We're going to introduce you to Dr. Satan. And in this whole interaction, the people, the three teenagers that are alive still, one who is like half dead, he's been tortured.
Well, you know, after having being scalped,
Jerry, the love of my life.
Why wouldn't Otis make a cool hairpiece out of that?
He was too busy being that one bitch's dad. Well,
first off, not the one who scalped him. Baby was
free wig, bro. Free wig. I know,
but we forgot about the dad part.
We forgot about the dad. So after the dad gets murdered, they have a dinner. Because
he was with the cops.
So this girl's dad gets murdered, and Otis is wearing, flays this man and wears his skin and tries to make out with the daughter.
With the dad's face.
Wearing the dad's face.
He's like, come here, baby girl.
Give daddy a kiss.
It's your daddy.
That was a really beautiful moment.
It was.
So, he sticks his tongue through the lips.
The mouth hole.
That's
fucking great, dude.
They put two of the teenagers in a coffin to lower down to Dr. Satan or his, their untimely demise. And one of the teenagers escapes.
The girl.
And they start saying this Run Rabbit Run and start doing this poem, and it's amazing because it's like when the rabbit is in the garden, the gardener says, get out, rabbit, run. And baby has an entire like slasher film like stabbing session and stabs the fucking living shit out of this girl, killing her. And giggles about it, and it's adorable, and all of its glory.
You're so fucked up.
I know. You love it.
I do.
What's really interesting about this scene is they're wearing white rabbit outfits. All three of the 20-something-year-olds are wearing...
I'm calling them teenagers only because they're younger than what the characters are, but they're probably not teenagers. They're probably, like, in their early 20s, like 22, 21.
Let's just call it that. So, they're wearing white rabbit outfits, but what's interesting is the final girl, the girl whose dad got flayed and worn, like, a skin
suit. Fucking butchered.
Basically, she has this dress that's very reminiscent of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Love that movie as well.
So cute.
She goes through the hole in the coffin.
Oh, I see.
And gets the rabbit outfit ripped off, and she's wearing an Alice in Wonderland outfit after that.
Wow.
She had that outfit on before. I think they threw the
rabbit costume over top. It was like one of those weird symbolic things to me. It like stood out.
So before that, before the stripping of the rabbit outfit, She is put into a coffin and lowered down to
Jerry.
With Jerry. He is one of the male characters.
And that's her boyfriend, right?
No, that is
her boyfriend.
Is it her boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no hanky panky, and like puts a lid down on the coffin. And
no fucking in here, right?
She is freaking out. She's trying to wake him up. And then as soon as they get lowered down,
A bunch of fucking freaks
start breaking into the coffin, drag him out of it, and leave her.
Right.
Well, Dr. Satan. You're really on a Marvel thing. You said Dr. Doom earlier.
I did that one intentionally. Dr. Doom.
So
there's an entire
like montage of her like wandering around in this, and there's also the scene that Eric was talking about where they rip her rabbit costume off and she is like freaking out. She's like, where the fuck am I right now? And there, it's kind of like they're leading her to a spot. Eric, you need to fucking tell Ripley to stop. She's fucking up your
Ripley.
Ripple. Nipple.
Okay.
Come on, Nips.
They run into Doctor Strange.
Dr. Satan.
Dr. Dick. Wow. Your head really is there.
No, you're fucking me up right now.
Dr. Cock and Balls.
Before that, this girl is wandering around. This is going into chaos. She is wandering around and she starts seeing these people that are all kinds of fucked up and has like fucking headgear on when they're like fucking in their 30s and like in their
30s. So the whole backstory on Dr. Satan is that he was the like a surgeon at a mental facility called
Willows
County Mental Institution. They called it Weeping Willows because of the cries from the mental patients. And he was trying to create super soldiers because when they encounter Dr. Satan, he's speaking it in a foreign language that's said in the subtitles. And it plays into the Nazi doctor trope a little bit.
Yes.
Which we brought all those people over here.
So you bring that in, that element into it.
He was injecting people with formaldehyde, right?
He was injecting them with all sorts of shit, but he was trying to make super soldiers, so it was like some Nazi science shit.
So this girl is wandering around, and
it is connected to Marvel.
He was making
Captain America's.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. This has been a fun experience.
She slowly starts to make her way to, with the aid of them, kind of leading her, like pushing her this direction. And they open up this one door, and her boyfriend is getting absolutely fucking obliterated on the operating table.
He's getting his brain drilled into
by Dr. Satan.
Oh my god, I love a lobotomy scene. Mm-hmm.
It is a full lobotomy scene.
It was very reminiscent of Red Dragon with Hannibal Lecter, where he takes the top of that dude's skull off.
Anthony Hopkins. That one had Julianne Moore.
Well, no, it wasn't Red Dragon. It was Hannibal.
No, it was Hannibal. Yeah. Leota.
She freaks out, runs out of the room, and right behind her is our one and only super mutant that actually knows what the fuck is going on. He's like, I'm gonna kill this bitch.
His face looks like a contorted rectum.
It's literally a pussy.
It's a pussy.
He does have mouth pussy, like, pretty bad.
It's a pussy and with gonorrhea. It is just dripping.
Yes. He takes his respirator. This guy removes his respirator, and there's just slime just dripping out.
Oh, yeah. He goes for a very beautiful cinematic swing to, like, cut her in half. He's like, I'm going for a full swing. Reaches back, swings. She, of course, ducks down because, you know, cinematic. And he misses and hits a support beam, which collapses, right?
And this is right when Christian spoils the ending for me. Literally, this is
the moment that Christian just fucked my world up.
So she wakes up in this, like, dust pile, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm alive. I can escape. And she crawls out of this hole through the ground and makes it to the main road, and a pink Chrysler pulls up, and it is
very cutesy.
It's very cutesy, and there's a gentleman with a clown face paint on, and she's like, I escaped. And he was like, well, I'll get you to a hospital. And He is none other than Captain Spaulding, which brings us full fucking circle in this movie. He says, I'll get you to a hospital. She passes out. When she wakes back up, she is on
Dr. Satan's. Well, you are forgetting a major part.
What?
In her dream, Otis pops out from the back seat, which gives that Friday the 13th feel.
That was very like from Friday.
How do you know that's a dream, that sequence?
You know what? We really don't.
I don't think it is a dream. I think she was about to get away, and Otis was just...
Yeah,
but I think Otis might have ducked down.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a dream to me.
When he saw her and like, oh, get her in the car to Spaulding, because he's clearly possibly in on it in some peripheral.
You know what?
Peripheral.
They don't really like make
got you
make you don't aware worry of it.
That he's part of it.
You all right?
What happened?
I don't know. You were doing some weird.
What happened is a girl corrected him, and he didn't like that.
Mm.
It's okay if you don't know the English language.
Yeah, you know, somebody's gonna get killed tonight.
The world, the work.
Gotta love it. Anyway, that was
the movie.
That was
the Devil's Rejects.
The movie.
Or, no, I'm
no
sorry.
What? Jesus Christ. You can't even get the fucking movie right. You're talking about I'm fucked up.
Oh, God. You know, look.
What's the movie?
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Star Wars.
Directed by Rob Zombie.
Directed by Rob Zombie.
Oh, my God.
So, let's talk about each person's favorite scene.
Fuck your mama.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. All right, me and you might have the favorite scene, dude.
It's hard for that not to...
Yeah. What scene was that?
The opening where Captain Spaulding's getting robbed.
This is a fearless gas station attendant. Probable, at least, accessory to murder.
Very on Pulp Fiction when they're like...
Yeah.
And that's based on the 5 movies I've seen ever.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like...
So what are the 5 movies? Pulp Fiction and what?
Pulp Fiction, Moana.
Big Booty Cheerleaders.
Mean Girls. 3.
Mean Girls.
Rocky Horror.
It's crazy to me that Pulp Fiction made your list.
And oh my God, best movie.
I love that.
It's my favorite movie.
It's one of my personal 5 favorites.
Yeah,
this is just a list of my favorite movies.
Out of the 5 movies you've seen, Pulp Fiction would be the top.
You want to know my one horror movie that I like?
Yeah.
What?
Jennifer's Body.
That's a good one.
Oh, fucking dope.
She had a body.
Mm. Okay.
Oliver watched that one with his pants around his ankles.
For real.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, that was just a
fucking
movie.
Joke. Jesus.
She literally, like, Christ. I feel like
there is a nude scene in that movie.
My whole personality is Megan Fox in that movie.
Naked as fuck.
Yeah. She seduces men and then she fucking eats them to gain power. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Get it, bitch. That's me.
Anyway. So me and Oliver have this. Same favorite scene.
I mean,
the Captain Spaulding stuff at the beginning is my favorite.
Basically,
shit.
Anything with him in it, he's essentially only in it at the beginning,
and it's
he's just such a caricature.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
So, Christian, what's your favorite scene?
It's gonna have to be when Baby is talking to one of the cheerleaders that they've kidnapped, and she was like, oh, you haven't even cheered me up at all since you've been here. And she turns around and she's like, give me a B, give me an A, give me a B, give me a Y, what's that spell? And the girl is reluctant to say anything, and she's like, what's that fucking spell?
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
That's a good one. What was your favorite scene, Bailey?
Honestly, it was all a blur.
Jesus fucking Christ. Well, Chris, she gave you a goddamn 40-minute synopsis.
Truth. I like... I don't know.
You like the rabbit scene?
No.
Oh, my God. Another
indecisive woman. Did you like the fish boy scene? where she gets turned around and her boyfriend.
No,
I liked the scene, I think, where they were putting on like the show and then the girl was like, "Fuck you, bitch," because I was like, "Ooh, what's gonna happen?"
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. You were cheering at that shit.
Yeah,
you were. Yeah.
You were and like, then, "Oh, that would be me. I would have punched that bitch like
an hour." Oh, I would have beat that bitch's ass way before.
Yeah, there you go.
The
visceral reaction
to that. Knee jerk for real. However, I also like, I don't know if this is like super gay of me, but like all the like when they were first introducing baby and they were doing like the cutaway scenes of her just being like
with like, her tits out.
Yeah,
you like
did
that?
She ever have her tits out now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
oh my god, Oliver.
One of the first vignettes you see of her, she has got her tits out.
And she's got a wig on.
Damn. I guess we gotta watch it again.
All right. We can go back downstairs and watch it again. But yeah, all right. Well, that was House of a Thousand Corpses, guys.
We learned a lot about each other.
It's a fun experience, and we're gonna do this all spooky season long until we can figure out what we really want to do. So this is an unnamed podcast for now. I'm working on some different names. I'm gonna ask them what they want to potentially name this thing. But yeah, this is going to be the lineup from here on out. I think it's going to be Oliver, Bailey, me, and Christian.
Yeah.
So I had to bring more testosterone into this thing. I was tired of swimming in the estrogen ocean.
Whatever.
So, you know.
I was outnumbered. You got a little bicep on you. Shut the fuck up.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. We'll be back with another movie to talk about. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this, but if not, that's totally fine. Whatever. I don't give a shit. So
are we going to do like,
we're going to do our thing.
Okay. It wouldn't be right.
It wouldn't feel right without it. So stay spooky.
Stay creepy.
Stay strange. Stay safe.
No, don't even say that.
Go fuck yourself.
I like it.
I like it. All right,
we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.